You are now listening to Capital 263. Free to say it.
Free to do it.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beattie.
And welcome back to 2017.
2017. Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, first show of 2017. We decided to take a break, like our leader,
Seguro Simbanashi.
President Robert Mugabe. He takes his annual leave at the end of December.
He's still
throughout
not back,
January.
So we're back before he is.
Yeah, you see, unfortunately, we don't have the liberty to take such an extended holiday.
And we missed you guys. We missed everyone.
That's true. We also didn't go as far east as he did.
But we brought back someone.
We did. In the studio with us today.
In the studio.
What up, Norma?
Hi, hi.
How was your holiday?
It was good.
Did you go to the far east?
No, I actually went down south home. City of Kings.
Mm-hmm. Bulawayo.
Yes. Go
Bulawayo.
Yes.
That's good.
I'm
so
gonna work on that.
On what? On you need to learn.
Pronunciation.
You need to learn Ndebele.
No, I did. I promised that 2017 I would learn Ndebele.
Who's gonna be teaching you?
Norma.
All right. Okay.
Charges $50 a lesson.
We can work on that.
Anyway, it's okay. for this show today, guys. Just catching up on a couple of issues that have been hot on these tweets and on the streets as well. I think we're going to start off with that mug or this mug.
Yeah, you know, we'd taken a bit of a break and it looks like in our absence there was a storm in a teacup that erupted with the vice president, the big boss himself. Let me not say that.
He is a boss in his own house.
No, don't
take it away from him. He is a boss. Canary acting president. Currently, he is the president. Whether you want to say acting or not.
Because you are playing for Lacoste.
Problem is that friends from everywhere will be very worried for me.
But okay, he's not the boss at the moment
because
acting president Mpoko is the acting president.
We've got that. The Bukita West by-election, which is happening this weekend, isn't it?
Yes, the 21st of January, which is on Saturday.
And then Honorable Themba Maliswa and his press conference, which was yesterday. Was it yesterday?
It was Tuesday.
Also, his purported idea of the third force. We'll tell you all about that. And, of course, our guest, Nomaliso, has some news for us. Things are happening. New year, new me as well.
Yeah, new year, new me, definitely.
let's just hop straight into it.
Don't forget you're listening to the best political podcast.
I don't even know if we're still the only one. There's some
pretenders. Just own it, guys. Just own it.
We're the
already.
Best.
You're
we're
the best.
Not by virtue of being the only one, but just by virtue of being the best.
Guys. MDC is doing it to think they're the biggest political party. They have to own it. Let's just go with it.
Yeah, this is where it's fun to have Noma here. The vice president, while he was acting president, had a New Year's party. Was it a New Year's party?
It was just a gathering at his house
sometime during the holiday.
It was on the 31st of December.
So it was a New Year's party.
Into the New Year.
Was it a New Year's party or a Christmas party?
It was a New Year's one, I think. Well, I saw it all everywhere. Twitter and everything was blasting by the 31st.
Yeah.
Jonathan came to these streets too early on the 2nd.
On the 2nd,
when we were still
bubbly. he got pictured. Initially, the first photos that came out were with Energy Mutodi. Who the Herald describes as... someone who masquerades as a member of parliament.
It wasn't the Herald.
He's as Zanu-PF functionary of sorts. I don't know if he holds an official position. I didn't actually find anything on that. He's a connected guy, businessman, chi-chi-chi.
Man of many opinions, if you ask me.
Chi-chi-chi means kukia kia in this instance. You know, he strikes me as one of these guys that have made their money by being feeding off the belly of the beast, as I would say. Mm. But he posted some pictures on social media of him and the vice president. And the vice president was holding a very nice mug. which declared in bold blue writing, "I am the boss." And I think the real, it only became news because no one really cares what's going on in his house.
Thank you.
It only became news when our minister in chief of Twitter, Jonathan Moyo, decided to make it something, to read more into the message than there was. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that was a whole bunch of nonsense, to be quite honest.
But I have to say, it was a pun intended, like it or not. They put it up there to rough up his feathers and everyone else who subscribed to the G40, who no one wants to own this thing. At least Lacoste has the balls to own their faction.
Look, of course, it was unfortunate in Vice President Mnangagwa's side that he ended up having these pictures on the internet.
How is it unfortunate? When you're posing for a smartphone, what do you think is going to happen?
Of course, look, what I'm saying is, what was unfortunate is that what people have then read into it, it's a coffee mug that says, "I am a boss." Whether he's a boss in his home, whether he's a boss farm kwake, whatever business is, even in his office as minister or whatever, Pavano Pinda, when they go inside and they say, "Mamuka say chef," or "How are you doing, boss?" It's the same thing. So there's really not much to go on and read into this, except that those
Mr. Vice G40 President,
alleged
with all due respect,
have taken it, you know, it's a not, bit too far.
I have a message for the Vice President. With all due respect, drinking whiskey from a mug is not boss behavior. Please.
I think to be,
it's not boss behavior.
But no, but we might be laughing at the mug. I think the insinuations were more sinister. And as far as that, it wasn't just Mutodika at that meeting. Further pictures then came out of Ziyambi, Tungai Msengami,
who
were expelled. So apparently this event was, there were at least 15 current and expelled ZANU-PF functionaries at this New Year's event. Seems to have been booting.
But you're my friend and you're from PDP. You subscribe to PDP and I subscribe to a different party.
So the thing is, you see, I think why Jonathan had such umbrage with it is because he's a plotter. He was there in Cholocho in 2004. So he sees this happening and he thinks there's a mug declaration in 2016. So he knows that when a group of people like this can get together, they're surely going to talk politics.
Of course they're going to
talk
politics.
They did speak about it. I mean, Ziyambi actually admitted in one of the articles to say, okay, we did speak about politics, but nobody said anything bad about the president. I mean, you can't
but
admit
look,
even if you did.
Wherever people are gathered, you're going to, in this country, you're going to end up speaking about politics. And there's nothing wrong with speaking about politics. Mm-hmm. I just think, and there's nothing wrong with speaking with bringing people together who are expelled from ZANU-PF. Jonathan Moyo himself was once expelled from ZANU-PF and he made his way back. Did he make his way back by sitting on the outside?
You know, he aligned.
Clearly, he went to somebody and he started having conversations about coming back into the party. Webster Shamu was suspended. He's now back in the party. Francis Nema is another one. He's back in the party. If you're looking to get back in, you're going to actually have to go to speak to people with the influence to bring you back, are you not?
I'm worried for Mtswanga. Why is he coming back not so swift?
Mtswanga is still head of the Wolfheads. So
no, but the
Wolfheads okay
have never been something that's owned by ZANU-PF.
That's why he's okay with being outside of
the Wolfheads.
And then Maria Kiega, he doesn't have a problem. But I think, you know...
So my issue with the whole mug thing and saying, you know, he was hanging around with people that were expelled and all sorts of things. Look, they could have been his relatives. They could have been his long-time friends. Didmas Mutasa called the president the other time, whatever they wanted to speak about. You know, maybe he just wanted to check in on his old-time
buddy.
Friend. You know, but... There's nothing wrong with being in such a situation. But of course, because of the politics at play, the factional politics at play, people are going to insinuate a lot of things from that situation.
But those insinuations, it would be naive to not insinuate things from that. Particularly if you see these guys still hold significant influence. You look at Lacoste building its own base with moves. And, you know, we'll get to Mr. Honorable Mliso later, but like, if you believe Kuti, he's Lacoste is co-opting a lot of these guys that have on the outside of the party to do their legwork. That narrative has been in existence for a long time. Particularly the whole of last year, and G40 was on the back foot at the end of the year. So these things, seem to be too fortuitous for someone to ignore. Even if you're not a conspiracy theorist, there's something going on. Ziyambi Ziyambi was ex-chair of Mashonaland West, yeah? So, you know, these are people with power, and coming up to an election, the fact that you have all of them together, people
that you're strategically placed
for a coming election. Yeah, whether it's Boram Sango, whether they're going to be supporting Lacoste candidates in the primaries, everything like that, it's politics at play.
It is, but you also have to understand that ZANU-PF is now in an unprecedented situation where it has ex-ZANU-PF members, strong ex-ZANU-PF members on the outside, right? We're going into an election. So for them, they have to consolidate as much power as they have as ZANU-PF. Because on the other hand, you have Maimujuru, who is vying for the same people from the same party.
Yeah.
She's not going out there looking for MDC candidates. Well, I mean, she'd hope to, you know, they're going into this coalition. I'm sure she'd hope to get the support. But where she is strongest is going where home was.
Yeah.
And all these ex-chairmen who got thrown out are potential allies. If I'm playing the politics as Vice President Mnangagwa or as anyone in ZANU-PF, I'd be looking at the situation and saying, okay, there's these ex-chairmen, they haven't allied themselves with anyone yet. If we don't bring them in, then they're going to go there. And because they were chairman of provinces, they have so much influence. Yeah, they have so much influence.
But the thing
why not bring them in?
Is he gathering power for ZANU-PF or for himself?
The point is, he still remains ZANU-PF.
Is the political messiah going to have access to these people for their campaigning mechanisms, or are they going to be run from this parallel structure? From the Team Lacoste spiral structure, which I think is the case.
Yeah, my take on that is, first thing is that the mug was a pun intended. They did it so that they could ruffle feathers, and Jonathan just fell into that one. But anyway, going on to that is that, for me, he's aligning for primary elections. The moment he wins the primary election, everyone in ZANU-PF knows that they need to wake up, because the moment the coalition of the opposition parties happens, it's late for them if they continue with their factionalism. They know that.
So he wants to control ZANU before by the primaries. Lacoste wants to be in charge of primaries, and then there's no Boram Sango.
It follows.
I actually agree with that. And I don't know, G40 is floundering. They're busy fighting Econet. No, they're not actually.
Yeah, no.
Wait, what do you mean? Super is Lacoste?
Yeah, Super is Lacoste, isn't he? Something I learned recently. I stand corrected.
No,
Lacoste is fighting Econet.
Lacoste will fight Amunwese.
G40 has its own issues with chairmen of the provinces and
not being confirmed and things like that. Yeah.
So, but does this mean that factionalism is going to be the story that we're rolling with in like these uncertain times? It is a fact. We acknowledge that it exists. I don't know why they are still oblivious and trying not to accept that it exists in their own party. But is it something that anyone who's on the outside, for instance, me and you, Charamba, are you inside or outside?
Inside what?
No way.
Inside the faction.
Inside the faction game
there's
or outside.
There's a very interesting graphic that I'm going to tweet on the account for anyone who's interested to know who's in Lacoste. And just look for any familiar names there.
But yeah, well, the point is for oppositions, I think it's very critical for them to take advantage of that. Well done to Maimjuru. She's actually taking on that. She'll try and find the money to buy the chairmen. Everyone is buyable. That's what I think, especially if they are from ZANU-PF.
You know, for me, it's factionalism will be an issue up until a point, I think. I think they're going to end up having a marriage of convenience where they will realize that, look, if we don't play ball with each other, then we won't win in 2018.
I have a prediction.
Yes, tell me.
By end of October, if that prophecy is true, they will marry each. If it's untrue, they will get in line.
My prediction is that whoever's more dominant at the end of this year, and my money is on Lacoste faction, is going to sacrifice a lot of these G40 people. You will find that, you know, people like Xavier might struggle to win, or Jonathan might struggle to win Cholojo again. Xavier might be working so hard in his own constituency he can't be around because there's a challenge, serious challenge coming from other places. These guys that came in from by-elections and Terence Makupe and Araya East, they'll receive no support from the party, and there'll be sacrificial lambs in as far as that you can still win an election, but you know, acceptable losses with people that you're willing to get rid of from the party.
Yeah. Speaking of elections, there's an interesting one coming up this weekend, Bikita West. And the only reason I think it's interesting, or one of the reasons, is that it's Bikita is in Mashingo province,
yeah,
which is the home province of Vice President Mnangagwa.
Oh, Mami Juru is the what? I thought she was
she's from Dotito. Dotito. Where's that's her constituency is Dotito, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah.
Mash Central?
Yeah, I think so. We can look it up and then we'll get back to you. But Bikita West is used to be held by the convicted rapist, Munyara Dzikereke, someone I have no love for. I don't know if anyone's heard of the story, but I think we mentioned it in the previous podcast, we mentioned Kereke in the previous podcast. He ran as independent and then crossed the aisle to join ZANU-PF, something you can't do anymore under this constitution. But so it was effectively a seat that was held by an independent. And at the moment, you have a few political parties there. I think there's the NCA is fielding, National Constitutional Assembly is fielding a candidate. ZANU-PF, of course. And interestingly, Zimbabwe People's First is, wetting their feet for the first time electorally. So they fielded a candidate for the first time in an election. So it's an interesting mix of people.
Yeah. So you have, Beauty Chabaya, who is the ZANU-PF candidate. You have, Kudakwashe Gopo, who is the ZIM-PF candidate. You have Dzikamai, Madok Chivasa, who is the National Constitutional Assembly candidate. You have an independent candidate, Heya Shoko, and Innocent Muzimbiri.
Is also an independent
candidate.
Yeah.
And then you have Terence Makumbo from Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe Party.
Okay.
So you have quite a number of candidates in this one, but the main ones for me will certainly be Beauty Chabaya and Kudakwashe Gopo from ZIM-PF. As I was saying, this is...
Why are we disregarding any of the independents, though?
It's actually, the independent candidate guy has the support of the MDCT if my information is not, I think, my information is from Mr. Maliso's press conference.
Buruka was a litmus test whether Tsvangirai wants to admit it or not. That if they don't participate and they don't offer anyone support, they shouldn't expect anyone to align with them. And if the independent thinks Mr. Tsvangirai and the MDCT is on board, you'll be surprised.
Why I will disregard is because for this one, ZANU-PF, it's a must win. It's a must win for the Lacoste faction because it's in his home. Yeah, it's in Mnangagwa's home province. And if they lose, if he were to lose this election, then it's quite telling in the sense that the G40 faction can go back and say, well, look, you guys, you can't win in your home faction, right?
And this
is happening at a time when the president is away.
Yeah.
So right now, all the cards are at play. I mean, you can sort of do what you want because there's no oversight. There's no hand coming in and stopping you at the last hour. So it's quite serious, I think, in terms of that. Also, I'll discount the independent candidates as well in the sense that ZIM-PF is also in the running.
Yes.
And they will definitely take a huge chunk of the votes. So if an independent candidate were to be running with the support of all the opposition parties, then certainly. But right now, ZIM-PF has a point to prove. It's out to show that,
it's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, it's a formidable party. And that's why I think head to head, it's going to be ZANU-PF, ZIM-PF.
Okay, fair enough.
Just the two of them.
But I don't know, with all this talk of coalitions, you would think that there would have been more support from, you know, the MDCT or anyone for I mean, particularly the MDCT, seeing as they've already announced in the papers that they're basically about to consummate their relationship for the ZIM-PF candidate. From the get-go, it just seems that, look, there's nothing else going on. And I've made this point before. There's no other election in the whole entire country. You have a whole party with whole structures and you have all your funding. Like you can
who
literally,
has funding in this regard?
I'm saying ZIM-PF with any funding that they have should all be in Bikita West right now. But, from what I've heard on the ground, it doesn't seem that they've made that many inroads in this short space of time. I don't know if you've heard anything different. Mm.
The way I see it, I don't think these opposition parties want to make a first move in terms of support, in the sense that right now all the opposition parties are looking for the upper hand, so to speak. So they want to go to the coalition and say, look,
you came to us.
Yeah, I have all of this, so I should be in charge type thing.
But
so
then
if MDCT gives its support now, and then then ZIM-PF candidate wins, then it's about who has more leverage in that sense. That's what I'm thinking about this whole situation.
I'm beg to differ on that position, because if anything, opposition parties are busy listening to their own the sound of their own voices, such that you think that this whole idea that MDCT is the biggest opposition could be a complete fallacy. In its entirety. And so going on and supporting ZIM-PF should actually, Bikita West is the only election that we have to actually prove that the idea of the coalition or the principle in itself could work, regardless whether the coalition happens at executive level or entirely for the rest of the election from councillors, MPs. This was supposed to be the test. But then you find people saying, yeah, Chimboitai, you know, like.
I think, but then also you have to think about it in the sense that we are in January 2017. Elections are next year,
July, that's latest.
June, right? So that's what, a year and a half,
yeah, 18 months or so.
If they go into this coalition today and say, Bikita West, we are, you know, having this agreement in terms of support, and they lose, that would be a massive hit to whatever coalition aspirations they are.
But what are the chances of loss with the clear cut strategy?
The thing is, you have to realize that I think Bikita is different from Norton in as far as that it's a 100% rural constituency. I think that even when Kereke left the vice president and at least his proxies were still making headway and on the ground in Bikita. So it would need like a serious amount of work to turn that constituency around, even though Kereke won as an independent, but he wasn't truly independent in the truest sense of the word, because he's always been well known to be,
a ZANU-PF ally.
A Lacoste ally, to be specific. and then on the issue of the coalition, I think, you know, regardless of anything else that's going on, right now is too early for the coalition to announce their intentions.
There's never going to be a time, especially when you want to be encouraging people like us, the millennials, that you want us to vote.
But the thing
there's
is,
never going
to
be a time than
it's,
now.
It's no. It's because you have to realize the people at play. Because you put Shangirai, Mujuru, BT, Mnube, Dabengwa in a room for 18 months, someone will die. Right. So,
okay,
they'll kill each other. So what's probably best is that they negotiate for perhaps the best part of 9 months, a year, and then they announce the coalition for purposes of a campaign in the election
and
only.
And at that time, Rita would have closed down voter registration. Things.
Yeah,
don't.
Independently, the parties can be making people go and register to vote. I agree with you. Kuti, it's probably more dangerous for them to be together for a long time and then start fighting over resources, start fighting over which MP is going where. It's better
those
that better they come with momentum towards election. Everyone knows about coalition. It's been talked about for the last 9 months. Our campaign at TSA, and we're using all of that.
For me, the coalition is a huge problem in the sense that they just can't agree on, I'd like to think that this is a basic issue, and they can't agree on that, in the sense that, guys, look, there is a ZIM-PF candidate. You guys, we just want you to offer your support. Tsvangirai doesn't even have to go out to the rallies. They don't even have to do any public announcements, but they have structures on the ground there, in the sense that they've campaigned out there before. They have people that they must know there, unless they really don't. And
but that's because factionalism isn't only unique to ZANU-PF. It's also MDCT, and there's a large part of MDCT that doesn't want a coalition, because if they've got safe
their
seats, they've got Kwazana,
they don't have those,
you know,
their
vice
anymore.
Presidents. So if they lose in 2018, I'm sure by 2023 they'll be old enough to run for president, so they'll have no problem with trying to form a coalition when they're in charge of the party. So
it's not like you're talking about a specific individual.
Look, MDC has three vice presidents. You can choose which one I'm talking about.
Well.
But yeah, no, that's a basic rundown of the Bigisa West election, which is, I don't know, it's a proxy war for everything else that's going on in this lovely country of ours.
Really, for all the factionalism.
My money, though, is on ZIM-PF. I really hope they do win this one.
Will win?
Yeah.
I tend to with Mr. Maliso's assessment that ZANU-PF is going to walk all over everyone there.
I'm telling you, ZANU-PF is
taking. Are they going to beat up people?
I don't think they've already started.
Are they going to use
their fear and coercion? They've already started.
There's been reports of violence.
Yeah.
Though Melissa believes
but
that
do you know the way we are actually
much.
Talking about this right now? It sounds like it's very normal for the fact that we expect ZANU-PF to beat up people in
elections. But we do, unfortunately,
and we do. We are kind of not even condoning it.
I do.
It's very problematic.
We condemn it. No, you're correct. We have been a bit, you know, flippant about political violence. But I think, yeah, that's how normalized it is.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking us there, because that was like, yeah, people are being beaten.
Though, at his presser yesterday, Themba Mliswa did allude to the fact that, or actually say that violence, electoral violence has subsided in recent years. And he doesn't believe that there was much electoral violence happening there. But there are countless reports of it all the time in terms of, as well, not just electoral violence, but, you know, coercion, vote buying, and all sorts of other forms of intimidation and rigging. So we'll see how this one plays out.
Yeah, so we've been talking about his press conference a lot. There was a lot in that press conference. There was a lot in that press conference, and I think he's been watching American politics, because what you do with the media is you say so much that there's so many different stories that some of the things actually go unmentioned, particularly when there's state media looking for propaganda.
He said ZANU-PF will win in Bikita, and that's the story that the Herald ran.
I'm going with the conspiracy theory that Themba Mliswa wants to align with Lacoste.
But he's not. But he said it himself. He said
that he's aligning with them.
He said he walked into parliament.
That's what he said. The first thing he said when he walked into parliament is, "Buru Rasi Rapinda Mdanga, I'm Lacoste representative here."
And yesterday he said he was Mnangagwa's cousin.
So we are not under any illusions about
Norton
that.
Norton people, please be clever. 2018 is very close by.
Norton people, if you're getting things,
please be very clever.
If your roads are fixed, if you've got vote with your tummies. The main gist of that press conference was launching this idea of the third force, which, to quote him, or to paraphrase him, is a unique opportunity to bridge the political divide with a common goal that's missing from Zim politics at the moment. His argument is that there's lots of people, and this is a paraphrasing, but I'm sure we'll retweet the link for the full thing on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page as well. But the argument is that there's lots of people that are left out of ZANU-PF politics and opposition politics at the moment. You consider the war vets who've said that they're not backing Mugabe, or a faction of the war vets who've said they're not backing Mugabe in 2018, aren't aligned to anyone in particular. You consider young people like yourself who, you know, like myself, who not necessarily will find a home with any opposition party, especially if we want to contest. You will find businessmen young children of war vets, young businessmen who have their own resources but don't necessarily want to get down and dirty with some of these old madalas in the party. So that's what Third Force is. It's a political action group or coalition point.
Temba Taneta, Chingoita, so you know, what was his thing again? The student.
Yard.
Like whatever happened to that thing?
No, it's yard, still is, yard is firing.
No, existence. No. Even so, PGP still exists.
Correct me if I'm wrong. If the president of the SRC at UZ now is Yard.
No, he's not.
Yes,
he aligned with pretty much everybody to win that election.
But he was at Yard.
When he got into the office, he's like, guys,
we'll call him on and we'll ask him himself.
definitely. But
we'll call him on and Anna.
He was very clear about his independence. Okay, he had Yard supporting him greatly.
Anyway, that's where we're digressing
from the main. But basically what Temba was saying was this. 6 million people on the voters' roll. 3 million people voted. He's targeting the other 3 million people. So he said, I'm not even going for ZANU-PF constituents MDC
the same
constituents.
Target, yeah, AC plus the other ones who are not registered.
Temba's benefit is that he's won an election.
And he knows how to win elections. So if I was a rich,
I'm rolling my eyes.
If I was at any resources and I decided, where my mother's from, I'm coming from diaspora and I want to win an election and I've got money to spend, I would go to Temba. And say I will run as an independent. How did you win? Can you show me how to win?
You know what? I think maybe Temba would have worked best if he was trying to have a coordination of a network of independents.
That's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he said, is that there's all these people who don't have political homes. And he says, we need to move away from the idea that for you to hold a parliamentary seat or a seat in office, you have to come from a political party.
So would you vote for an independent candidate for presidency?
For presidency,
mm-hmm. don't measure the viability of them winning. Would you vote?
It depends on who it is.
What's your ideal person who could probably stand up as an independent?
I can't think of somebody off the
top.
If Strive ran as an independent, would you vote for him?
No,
Strive never, guys. Like, come on, I know
he's not very popular right now.
No, but it's got
what he did to my data last week.
For me, it's got nothing. Personally, I'd like to just excuse him from that one. Mboweni must get in the grill for that. But you know what? Strive is not really like a political pusher mover type of person. If he had to run, he would probably win for the fact that everyone knows after Mugabe, Strive Masiwa in terms of popularity and name.
In terms of results, they know Strive before they know Tshangirai.
Baba, Diana sina bad. Diana sina bad.
Okay, we're digressing here again. But what I'll say is that in terms of an independent, they'd have to be a very strong individual in terms of character, because mm-hmm. if you're winning as an independent, you're going to have to form a government of coalition.
Which is true. But
So for me, that's probably where I'd, you know, fault on that. But I have no problem with my MP being an independent.
Absolutely.
Which is basically what Temba's pushing for.
So this third force...
Temba sometime soon.
He was pulling out more... It was a more nuanced argument in as far as... he spoke about how... if you look at how elections have been won in Zim, it's very difficult to win an election without ZANU-PF. And the Herald ran the article saying you can't win an election without ZANU-PF. But the point was more nuanced than that. You were saying that you need a component of ZANU-PF, whether be it war vets or ex-ZANU-PF members who have been winning elections for better or for worse on the ground for 37 years. And the thing is, it's almost true because, you know, in the ascendancy of the MDC, when they started, they had a lot of ex-ZANU-PF,
officials
who turned into opposition politicians. In fact, Morgan Tsvangirai himself was in ZANU-PF at some point. The point is, he's, I was never in ZANU.
You always want to excuse yourself.
What he was saying is that if opposition parties keep ignoring these facts and keep complaining about vote rigging, ballot stuffing, violence and things that we know ZANU does, And instead of, you know, Zimpie, for example, going to court and a web Sashamu, people who were outside of the party at that time, they went and started taking people from PDP, taking people from opposition. You can have all the opposition you want, but you're not going to win an election. That was his point. And I think Third Force is going to try and, like, bring together Mawo Vetsana, Nam Tsangwa, you know, disgruntled ZANU-PF people. In fact, his Third Force has a political commissar.
It's a political party.
I would like to say the Marxists, because everyone's, Gottfriedson, he was in ZANU-PF, he was in Marshall and West with Mr. Maliso as well. So, you know, he's the political commissar of the Third Force, and they'll be announcing candidates from the opposition, and some apparently ZANU-PF MPs.
Do you know any of the names of potential candidates?
No, I only know there was a list that went around, but I don't know how far it was. But that list had like people like Patson Zamara, it had people like Analinda, some activists on it. But I saw it on a politics group, and it was since disputed by everyone or the people that were on the group that were on the list. But some of them have actually then gone on and said that they're moving away from their political homes to do this Third Force thing.
So Kemba seriously has some grounding?
I think he's just playing to the worst fears of Zimbabwean people. People are greedy. People want power. So people saw what Temba did.
My only problem is Norton,
and believe they can replace it. I've got the list. Yeah, I'll just try and find out some names that stick out to me.
Patson
Zamara, Sibanda and Makokoba, Eguvariro and Mashingo South, Tengazu and Norton, Garwe and Marondra Central, Musona and Darwin North.
Patson Zamara is running for where?
I don't know. It didn't say.
So that's quite an interesting list.
Anyway, for me,
names.
For as long as Temba aligns with Mnangagwa for reasons best known for me as a lawyer girl, Matabeleland, who's got parents who just don't understand what happened when they lost their own parents and brothers, it's going to be very difficult. And his commentary on Kukuraundi, just personally, I was just like, it's a whole shitload of bull. You don't speak about things that you don't know.
We had tried to avoid...
She asked on Patson Zamara, apparently Highfield West, and the political commissar is Godfrey Tsenengam.
Yeah, it's not an easy name, so yeah, it wasn't just me.
Godfrey Tsenengam, which is, it's quite interesting that he's taken a this whole political commissar route. He's taken a former youth chairman. For me, he's trying to, you know, galvanize young people. And he did say more than half of the parliamentary seats that they're going for should be occupied by young people, so under the age of 35.
Yeah.
This is very problematic.
So
why
the
is
thing
there
is you need
some
to,
talk of AC Lumumba in here?
You tell us.
While we're on the subject.
You're his vice chairperson.
Not as of yesterday at 8 a.m. No. Officially resigned. So, yeah.
You resigned from Viva.
I resigned from my position as vice chair. And
are
therefore
you still a card-carrying member?
No, I de-associated myself with the organization entirely.
Why?
I gave my reasons in the letter, and I gave you guys the privilege of getting to the letter.
Can we quote from the letter, or you want to give us?
We have you here. There's no point reading
okay,
the letter.
Okay, the holistic reason was that... you know, I've said this before, even in my previous the previous contribution that I made, that I don't believe that politics and national service is a career. And when you look into it, I haven't really actually built anything to actually say, okay, yeah, I can leave my career. Let me like do national service and not want to benefit directly from it, competing with actually my peers who are in the business world. Which is a cycle that we're trying to break tomorrow. And I don't want to be that person. And I hope that most of us can realize that as young people. I'm not saying that there's no space for us to discuss discourse, political discourse and governance issues. There is, but we need to realize that sooner rather than later, because in the next 40 years, it's going to be our kids sitting here doing a podcast telling us how very crappy and shitty we are for what we're doing. And I don't want to be part of that group, pretty much. So
Preach.
That's why.
Preach. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I, you you brought out some very, that politics is not a career, no matter how much you want it to be.
Yeah.
Talking about politics, though, could be. But so,
yeah,
what,
I mean,
what, besides your
money.
Besides your studies?
Besides my studies.
Any exciting projects we can look out for you besides... So now you can come onto the podcast every once a month.
yeah, definitely. But the current ones, I've got non money making type of projects that we're doing. I'm currently partnership and publicity officer for Campus Community Foundation.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys heard about it. The ministry kind of helped with some publicity. I'm putting quotes on that. We're doing a mentorship program for other people, but it's an NGO that really tries to bridge the gap between theoretical studies and practical studies in the industry and university students. And in business, there's a few friends.
So you're moving out of politics?
I'm moving out of politics into
the NGO sector?
No. That's my then contribution to the community in as far as trying to make a change is concerned. But then business-wise, yeah, I've got a few, 2-3 business ventures that I'm getting into. So, yeah, they need my utmost attention.
We wish you the best of luck in that.
So AC is losing a lot of women in his life.
I didn't see that one coming. But yeah, I guess. But I'm leaving Viva, not AC. I've always made this clear.
You're leaving
the
Viva,
of the
not
state,
AC.
Guys.
For those that don't know, AC... was in H Metro. I'm going to report this as just news.
Yeah.
Came out in H Metro and was saying that he was happy to get his passport back because his girlfriend from South Africa, who is apparently some business person's daughter, or I don't know, a minister's ANC associated.
Fana Shlongwane's daughter.
Yeah. So,
and Fana Shlongwane, he was involved in arms deals in South Africa.
Is he what? That Mandela one as well. Was he the one involved with that one?
Yeah.
That's long money, guys. That's serious money.
So,
this is generational wealth.
So apparently, AC claimed.
Alleged. They were allegedly in a relationship.
He's a claimer.
Hey, guys, Musadaro.
No, he's like, a claimer. He claimed he was dating Lerato Shlongwane and that she was worried about him and that he was worried he wouldn't get his passport, and she was asking him to come back to South Africa. And then when investigations were done, she said, no, that's not...
It wasn't investigations. They just asked for a comment. Sorry, but can I ask?
Like,
He didn't have his passport.
Why are you asking our guy to come to South Africa when he's got work to do in Zimbabwe?
He didn't have his passport, so how did the Viva hold that conference?
Which conference?
That rally in Kempton Park.
No, he traveled to South Africa. He came back and then he went back to court.
He had actually applied for a
because the bail conditions were set a long time ago.
I know, but then he applied for a provision that he can be given his passport to travel because he was trying to fix up something that had to do with family issues and stuff. So he was given on those
family
grounds.
With Fana.
That just sounds
like AC being a con man to me. But yeah, no, he's a claimer.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Yes. So that was basically that. I think we mentioned a lot of things that might need a little bit of context. We kept talking about the Maliso, as just to wrap up, we kept talking about the Maliso interview. 263chat.com has some video on it up at the moment, as well as we'll also tweet links for all the audio. We kept talking about Econet. If you guys don't know, there was a whole nother podcast that might happen, but about data prices going up, just the cost of data or data.
Yeah, I think Nino and the other guys
went through it. So if you're on Capital 263, look out for some of those podcasts that actually do discuss the data prices and it was.
Do you
guys
think that it was really a political?
It was political.
Everything in this country is political.
No. I mean, as in, you know, like looking back at how it played out.
Anything that involves a minister of government in this country is political
and usually corrupt.
Do you think that regulatory bodies make things very difficult for business to exist without government regulating them?
No. Government regulation is not an issue, right? But it's the way in which these things are then
communicated, used
as instruments. I mean, for example, Potras as a regulator has been accused of having different standards for the different operators in the industry. So in that sense, already you've got politics at play, and it's unfortunate that one is, there's now two government-owned
and one independent or private
telecommunications company. But, you know, that's a whole other topic that we'll get into one day. We actually must discuss the issue of parastatals in this country.
I think that's what we'll talk about. Corruption and parastatals.
It actually hurts my
heart. A four-hour podcast.
It should start from the fundamentals of what corruption is, which is a space that I feel like young people need dictionary.
And on that bombshell.
Yeah, it's a mic drop.
Well, thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. Free to do it.
Yeah.
That's the tagline. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba, at Chris Charamba on all social media.
And my name is Nomali Sengube, Flaming Arrow on all social media, where I strike a set ablaze.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beattie, at Henry Beattie on all social media. Deleted my Instagram, sorry guys, but fun is Rugiti. Anyway, thanks guys. Bye. And now. Capital 263.